Welcome back to the February report. Today we're going to cover BH's acquisition, Dom Beverage's brand new 20 for 20, revenue management lawsuits hitting the hotel industry, Air Canada and the curious AI chatbot case, new state level lawsuits, and some forum news. Let's get into it. On last month's report, we talked about the rise of mega managers. And just last week, one of our customers made big news. BH will be acquired by Pretium. In the press release, Joanna Zabriskie, the CEO of BH, said, quote, "This is an inflection point for BH and an opportunity to further invest in our centralized services platform, as well as advance our proprietary business intelligence systems. This transaction will also expand our operating footprint." BH oversees 114,000 units across 31 states. Pretium has more than $50 billion of assets. Tyler, what do you make of this news?
Well, first of all, congrats to BH. They're a phenomenal partner. Joanna is one of the best leaders in the business. And I think she highlighted something that we've been saying as we've seen these mergers continue in our space and the mega managers emerge, which is that it's a unique opportunity to take advantage of the good operators in our space. Centralization, shared services allows them to take best-in-class practices, standard operating procedures, and expand those over various assets. Historically, there was no advantage to scale in multifamily. You know, it didn't matter if you were 3,000 units or 300,000 units, you really couldn't get economies of scale other than your purchasing power, but there was no operational power for standardization. And that is going away. BH calls it their Mint experience. They have a phenomenal brand and service standard that goes along with BH. So I'm excited for what this means. And one other observation about this, Pretium has a separate ownership group or a separate management company called Progress Residential, which is SFR. But Pretium has been a big acquirer and big owner in the space of build to rent. And build to rent is much more akin to multifamily, right? It's essentially multifamily spread out over more space. And so I think in this world of mega managers, which keep in mind, BH, if you look at last year's NMHC top 50, they had about 50,000 owned assets, about 50,000 third-party managed assets that they had. And so this is going to expand their overall portfolio. But for these mega managers, the ones that are 100,000 plus units, right, all the way up to the 900,000 that Greystar now is, one of the requirements is going to be their ability to manage different portfolio types. And so BH is making a big investment in their technology, a big investment in their people, and that the standard operating procedure, their belief is it can benefit not only traditional multifamily, but the growing build-to-rent space as well. So exciting times. Congrats to BH and excited to partner with them in that growth.
Last week, the other major headline was Dom Beverage releasing his annual report 20 for 20. He's once again spent a considerable portion of this year's report covering centralization, where operators find themselves and moving toward that new operating model. He made it very easy for me. Executive summary. So I'm going to list out the top two priorities that everyone seems to be focused on. I think the between the lines is the economy is putting people in a tough spot. They're looking for operational efficiencies where they can find it. So the top two priorities were process improvement, referenced by 7 out of the 20 folks he spoke with, and centralization, 5 of 20. Tyler, today you posted on LinkedIn that 2 years ago, the majority of folks were not planning a change to their staffing model and not planning to necessarily centralize. Now there seems to be a tiny fraction of people still holding out. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I love Dom's work. Obviously, we're a big fan of his, had him on the pod several times. And you know, Dom puts data to sentiment. Right. And so these are things we're feeling out in the market anyway. And he spends the time, does quality research and digs into it, but then brings us back this data. And so it's phenomenal. And it really is interesting to just take a look back 2 years ago in his 2022 version, where it was only 30% of these operating executives who said, we are planning to change our staffing model. right? And now if you look at where we're at, there's very few who have, there's zero, in fact, who haven't either changed or are planning to change to an admin centralization model, a centralized admin model. And so to go from in 2 years, we're talking 24 months, to go from a, hey, we're not even sure that there may, it makes sense to change anything, to everyone changing anything is just remarkable. The highlight I want to call out in addition to that is that in so using that kind of change in 2 years to look ahead, one of the big things that stood out to me is there's still a very small cohort of individuals who do not believe that centralization will apply to leasing. And Dom unpacks that a little bit in his survey and, you know, talks about why. He highlights that maybe these are large third-party managers and that the third-party managers have tried to dip their toes in the water and they just can't get owners on board with this. Or perhaps, you know, it's the geographic density argument again. I think similar to 2 years ago when we were bullish and saying centralized everything is the future, centralized leasing will be the standard for third-party management. And if you need to believe someone other than me, just go back and listen to what Joanna Zabriskie said about BH, who is now one of the largest third-party managers in the country, and their Mint experience, which you should Google it and see, you know, it's a beautiful concept, is all built on shared services. And so while I do understand getting ownership groups on board with this will take some time, I fully understand that third-party managers may not have it as easy as a REIT like Camden or Essex in terms of cross-selling their properties. The advantages are so clear, right? And so what changed over the last 2 years, you know, the market got worse and the technology was proven. And the vast majority of operators as well in Dom's survey, they believe it's going to get worse before it gets better. And so the holdouts, it's going to get much harder. This is not the last third-party manager you're going to hear about publicly saying, we're centralizing, we're offering centralization services. And so when you start to see more and more of these large managers do it, it's only a matter of time before it goes to the norm. And then really the only debate we're going to have anymore is the, you know, how much can I centralize from a maintenance perspective, which, you know, we're attending the HappyCo conference this week. Shout out to those guys planning a great conference. And, you know, at their conference, there's a lot of talk about central maintenance. So I think as a non-maintenance expert, that's a worthwhile conversation because at the end of the day, those are physical assets. But central admin, nobody believes that's not the standard anymore. Central leasing, if you're holding out, still thinking you don't need to work on centralized leasing, I think 2 years from now, you'll be in the zero category.
Bold predictions. Not that bold. Hotel chain operators, including Hilton and Hyatt, were accused of inflating the cost of luxury hotel rooms with help from a price-setting database they all pay into. So the lawsuit claims folks staying at these hotels paid higher prices for luxury hotel rooms because of an agreement between the hotel chains to share competitively sensitive information about their prices, supply, future plans through this intermediary platform. Feels very similar to the suit and suits hitting multifamily of late. It's also interesting because even fast food seems to be entering the space. I don't know if you had also seen, Tyler, Wendy's is now experimenting with surge pricing at some of their locations. So what do you make of this hitting the hotel side of things, and when was your last Frosty?
Oh, that's a great question. Too long. Yeah, I may need to DoorDash a Frosty today. It's been a long time since I've had a Frosty. Last time I got one, I tried the vanilla one. It was a letdown. Got to stick with chocolate. But we talked a lot about revenue management. We had Dom come on to give a dissenting opinion to what we had shared. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and bring forward one of the other stories we want to talk about, which is, you know, we're seeing additional lawsuits coming out, such as in Arizona. Attorney General there is suing, likewise with DC and the class action suit in Nashville. So revenue management is all around the news. And I think, frankly, the fact that it's now in other industries goes to the point that we've tried to make previously, which is, I believe where this goes. I do not believe this is going to a world in which revenue management is outlawed. The operational benefits to enterprise, to business, is just too great. Where I believe this goes, and where we believe, or I believe, that there could be a win-win in this for both renters, for operators, and for technologists, is establishing ground rules about what's kosher and what's not. Where can you leverage artificial intelligence to set price and what practices should not be allowed. And so there, when you get a lot of copysuit lawsuits like this and you get them, just the proliferation of litigation that's going on, there will be bad actors and there can be bad outcomes. And Dom did a good job of highlighting what those could be on our previous report response. Where I would like to see this, where I'm optimistic, I'm naturally an optimist, where I think this could go is that there are certain practices, just like it's not illegal to drink alcohol, but there are laws about what you, how you can advertise alcohol. Same thing with gambling. Same thing with, you know, any other business, that there are good things that, you know, there's tax revenues that come from gambling, but there are certain ways in which you can advertise it. Revenue management is a net positive to multifamily and to consumers. Where I think the litigation lands, both in multifamily and in hospitality, is when does AI and the data it's gathering cross the line into collusion? Right. And what I think the smart lawsuits and smart litigators are focusing on is the sharing of non-public data. And that's where I think that technologists in particular have a responsibility to put guardrails and safeguards in place to make sure that we are not compiling aggregate data. So that's my takeaway. I continue to think that settlements will occur if the technologists embrace that mentality that, you know, revenue management can exist. And frankly, I think there's a very strong argument in this environment in housing that rents have stagnated because revenue management has done its job in recognizing that this increased supply, demand softening a bit, leads to rents being flat. And so that's the best argument you could make if you're, you know, a revenue management provider in this situation, is that yes, rents went up really high, they're now flat. I think that the way we get out of this is that for technologists to agree that they're not going to compile non-public proprietary information and we can continue using it the way we used to. I used to sell LRO. We just used marketed rates, right? That's what's on the website. Let's just use those. That's not proprietary.
You mentioned AI when you were talking about lawsuits. There was a pretty interesting case. Air Canada recently lost in a small claims court, but nonetheless, a passenger claimed to have been misled on the airline's rules for bereavement fares, and the chatbot they were speaking with hallucinated an answer that was inconsistent with airline policy. They screenshotted the response, bought the ticket for the funeral, ended up winning the case. What do you make of this and what it means for AI and multifamily with fair housing and other regulations?
Yeah, it's a great example of what everybody's talking about. So our industry, even more so than air travel, for good reason, has rules around how and what you communicate, right? You can't tell somebody that they shouldn't live in a certain neighborhood, you know, based on who they are. There are a lot of great conversations happening by technologists like us who provide AI solutions about how do we take advantage of the rapidly evolving AI landscape while continuing to remove bias from that process, as well as work within the laws of fair housing. And I think that on the one hand, this is a good cautionary tale of let's be careful. I think on the other, like all new technologies in every business, there comes with a little bit of inherent risk. And so I think it highlighted what can go wrong and why you do need to be responsible with artificial intelligence. And I think, you know, even the largest organizations in the world think a lot about responsible AI. You know, Meta's AI product is open source because they think that, frankly, it's going to benefit everybody if it's not monetized. And that's actually what happened at OpenAI when there was the whole coup is, should it be commercialized? Should it be open source? In the world that we live in housing, AI can play a massively valuable role in making things more efficient, a better consumer experience. And I think it's worth taking on some of those risks. If you think about, like you said, the actual substance here, yes, they were found guilty of miscommunicating and they need to fix their model and fix their bot to make sure that doesn't happen. But the net benefit, this was in the headlines, not in that folks may not have seen, but Klarna, which is the leading buy now, pay later company, has rapidly improved their customer experience when it relates to support tickets by leveraging AI. It's handling the work of 700 agents. And we've seen similar results both at Funnel and across the industry of virtual leasing agents. They are making the consumer experience better. They are making leasing agents' lives better. So as we turn over more of that work to AI, is there increased risk of it miscommunicating? Absolutely. So we should be cautious. We should be iterative. We should find good partners and make sure we're improving upon it. But the net benefits far outweigh, you know, the odd case that may happen where somebody got stuck paying a little bit of, you know, a bereavement fare. So I think that if we partner with this and our goal is to be consumer centric, renter centric, then the net benefits are going to flow to the consumer.
My grandparents always said, if you want an omelet, you have to break a couple of eggs. Hopefully not many. An article last week in the New York Times was headlined, "Housing costs are running hot, but is the data missing a cooling trend?" Overall, inflation has eased substantially over the past year. It's still poking its head up here and there, but housing has been a very stubborn exception to that rule. Cost of shelter was up 6% in January from a year earlier, rose faster on a monthly basis than in December, according to the Labor Department. Most economists still think we'll see a slowdown in housing inflation, and that will bring down overall inflation over the course of this year. So the data could be lagging for two reasons. One, it's only measured every 6 months. The other is leases last a year or a year plus. Renewals often get a discount relative to new leases. So data typically sees a more gradual impact than the new lease rent rates we see today. Tyler, what do you make of this development?
Yeah, great article. We should include it in the show notes because it did a great deep dive on this very strange time in multifamily and in America where the government is doing its best to try and the Fed is trying, you know, the reason rates are so high is they're trying to cool off inflation. On the ground floor, if you work in the multifamily industry, you know things have cooled off. And not, as we've discussed in this pod previously, not because of interest rates going up, but rather because housing supply has been able to meet the needs. And we, you know, put a million, we're going to put a million new apartments into the market between 2023 and 2024. And that's great. Side note, as an industry, my PSA would be let's do our best to not call it oversupply, because all of us here that are opposed to rent control believe that the answer to affordable housing is more supply. And so I think when we call it oversupplied markets, we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. So although I grew up in a home of, you know, an asset manager on the finance side, it's like, get if you're an asset manager and you underwrote a deal with a certain, you know, assumption about what rates were going to be and what rents were going to be, you know, you may view it as oversupply. As an industry in general, we should view it as proper supply because we need 600,000 units a year. So anyway, I'll get off that soapbox. So back to the Times article. What they were highlighting though is there's this reality in the apartment industry of rents being fairly flat, but that not showing up in the data that the government is using to determine to cut rates. And that is a very good conversation because it is problematic, because the longer rates stay high, the slower we will see, you know, barring some sort of special legislation where we subsidize all multifamily development, which I think a lot of us think something along those lines would be smart. And certain states have done that, by the way. I know Utah and Florida, the two states where I spend a lot of time, have both passed different laws encouraging more development. But barring, aside from those local laws, high interest rates means historically low starts in multifamily. Historically low starts in multifamily, meaning new apartment buildings, means that rents will get back to growing like crazy in 2 to 3 years because we still have a massive influx in demand, but supply is going to drop off precipitously. So smart article. Folks should read it. Everyone should be doing their part in their individual jurisdictions to try and encourage more supply. And hopefully articles like this and hopefully smart individuals can take a look at this and really figure out what is actually happening in housing. Because like you mentioned, there's a lot of nuance in the data, including that when you think about renting, which is about a third of the economy, there is so little supply in single family rental in particular, the rents are still growing. So a lot of nuance needs to be applied, but smarter conversations are happening, which is great.
Let's end with a final piece of news. It wasn't in the New York Times, but it probably should have been. We are sold out at the Forum, our inaugural event. We have more than 90 people registered, 3 weeks away. I would encourage you, if you are still interested, there is a day or two where you could join a wait list and we could possibly make something happen for you. But Tyler, I know you're as excited as I am about it. Can't wait to see everyone in person. Any final thoughts on the Forum?
Just humbled. Yeah. If you're listening and you're attending, thank you. If you're listening and you couldn't attend, reach out to us. Like Alex said, maybe we could sneak one or two more people in. But we also, I'd love to get people's ideas for next year's location. It's very clear there's a demand for this forum. And the cool thing is we talked about Dom's article and, you know, what's happening in centralization. That's why people are coming. You know, it's not just to hang out with us cool pink folks, but more so they want to talk to each other, because that group of individuals who have already centralized, that's who's going to be there. So really, really excited. And for listeners of the podcast, there is some content we'll take away that we will turn into podcasts. So hopefully you'll get a little bit. You won't get, you know, the buffet that is going to be Forum, but yeah, humbled, excited. And yeah, give us your ideas for 2025 Forum.
We will see many of you in person in Terranea in a few weeks, and we'll talk to the rest of you next month. Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Alex. Thank you for listening to The Report. If you have a unique perspective on multifamily and the news that's happening in it, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us a voice memo or an email to marketing@funnelleasing.com, and we'll try to get you on our show.